Hi, this is Alex Burles from the Vancouver Canucks. This is the Hockey Guys.
Hi, I'm Thomas Sagan, and you're listening to the Hockey Guys.
I'm Jamie McLennan, and this is the Hockey Guys.
I'm Devin O'Neill, this is the Hockey Guys.
My name's Mike Camilleri, and this is the Hockey Guys.
I'm Nick Kyprios, and this is the Hockey Guys.
Thursday, September 3rd, 2015. This is episode 57 of the Hockey Guys podcast, brought to you by Justition Hockey. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about Justition Hockey. They provide you some of the best excellence in quality hockey-related brand clothing that you can get out there. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you. It means that if you want a quality pair of sunglasses that you know won't break, and if you want a t-shirt that you know won't get de-threaded within the first 6 or 8 weeks that you wear it, because you went to Sears Outlet and there was a sale on shirts and you had to get 3 for 1. You got one gray, one black, one white, and then you realized how idiotic you were when you got home. You don't get that with Justition Hockey. You get nothing but high-quality stuff. Head to www.justitionhockey.com, and I guarantee you, you will find something that you'll like, you'll sign up for it, and before you know it, you'll be looking good. What more do you want? Anyway, like I said, September 3rd, episode 57 of the Hockey Guys podcast. Yours truly, Hunter Crowther. My co-host, Chris Shannon. We got a little bit of a different format today. Usually, we've used this system where we can talk to each other through a series of Skype and weird programming in our computer. We decided to discard that because far too often we've dealt with technical difficulties. And right now we're using just simple GarageBand, recording this conversation. Right now I'm sitting at my brand new house in Toronto as I prepare for my college year. I'm sitting in my friend Adam's room. Adam's helping me record. Christopher, where are you on this lovely Thursday evening?
I am in beautiful Florida, enjoying the nice summery 100-degree weather because it's summer. You know, this is the time in Florida where it's like your January in the winter. It's no one wants to be outside because it's too hot. Yes, it's possible to be too hot. It's just not a nice time to be outside, but it's also beautiful out there. So you know what? Can't complain. Having a good time so far. Summer's over. Time to get back into reality. And that means the Hockey Guys show is back with a new season. And like I said before the show, new season, new the Hockey Guys show.
Well, it certainly is a new season. And, you know, going into the summer, I thought we'd be able to produce a lot more content than we were able to. I thought that because we were both off of school,
yeah,
we'd have the opportunity to just do more shows, do more writing. But before you know it, real life took over. And then before you're working 40-hour-a-week jobs, trying to balance, you know, that kind of real life and then hockey blogger doing all this stuff for fun. You got to, you know, try and pick your spots. And it's tough over the summer.
Well, Hunter, I think we learned that we're just both very disorganized during the school year. We have a nice set out schedule. And, you know, we worked that schedule out. In the summer, we were both, you were either working or you needed some sleep. And, yeah, I was just chilling the Adirondacks, having some, like, you know, just having a nice summer. And now we're back into reality and we have a nice schedule going here. We're ready. The Hockey Guys is back. So much is coming. So many new things are happening.
Absolutely.
The Hockey Guys website, not going to say much about it. It's going to be back. I'll tell you that much. We got some plans.
We got some ideas.
Yeah.
Pretty good. But we crave structure is what I'm trying to say. We crave schedules.
And it's nice now because we're not rushing to have a 30-minute show.
No.
We can talk about these stupid arguments or have more stupid arguments, which makes a great podcast like the Hockey Guys.
We don't have that weird 3-second delay, and then we awkwardly cut off each other as we're trying to have a conversation. Now, if you do say something that I don't like, I can just cut in right away, and you can hear my rebuttal, and vice versa.
Exactly. And I can actually understand what you're saying most of the time because, yeah, well, we're going to get away from that old system that we use because we're not using that anymore.
No, we're professionals.
We're having a nice
now.
Time. It's a new year. We're happy. It's a new season. The Hockey Guys is back. Let's get this started here.
Let's get this going. All right. It's been a lot that's gone on in this offseason. There's been some transactions, players going to different teams, teams paying coaches $50 million. You know, it's been weird. A lot has happened. You know, before the show, you and I didn't even really have a set idea of what we wanted to talk about today. So I'm going to let you decide what we're talking about first. Chris, what's the first? I'm sorry, I'm talking like Christopher Walken. That's weird. Hey, Christopher, Why don't you tell me what do you want to talk about? About hockey. Go.
Yeah, well, I think it's fitting, and I know this may be a little bit weird, but I think it's fitting to talk about probably the weirdest, one of the weirdest things that's gone off on this offseason, which, I mean, there's been a lot of legal things going on in the NHL, which I really don't want to get into because that's not stuff I'm into. No. What about Cody Franzen here, right? This guy, you know him more than I do. He was a big guy with a fleece. Everyone, I mean, yeah, his reputation got hurt a little bit with the Leafs, but guess what? He still did well. He got traded. Didn't do too great. Now he's a free agent, and he's still not signed. I understand that teams are trying to get younger. I think Cody Franzen's 27 years old. He's a top four defenseman and nothing far from it. The guy's going to give you, bring you offense, which every team looks for. This guy's still not signed. Hunter, what the hell?
It baffles me too, Chris. It really... And what's so interesting is I remember last season when a lot of people were fast-forwarding to the offseason and trying to figure out which defenseman would be available. And free agency has gone to a point now where it's almost a wasteland where these medium-sized fish are treated like king cods and they get these ridiculous contracts. And going into the summer, I was of the belief that Cody Franzen would be one of those people who, like I was saying, it's so hard to find like actual good talent in free agency. And it always seemed to me that Cody Franzen was this offensively dynamic, right-handed shooting, big body who is very subtly good with his size. I think there's a reputation around him that he's soft and that just comes with the territory of being an offensive defenseman who's prone to turnovers. I mean, you can't turn the puck over unless you have it. But, you know, Franzen, he does a very good job of using his body to separate the man from the puck. I've seen nothing from him to indicate anything other than at least being a second-pairing defenseman on some good team or even on an elite Stanley Cup team, he could be a number five. I mean, why wouldn't you want a guy who can give you, like you said, power play minutes and be a productive player? And the fact that we're so quick to give guys long-term contracts and so much term in the offseason, yet Cody Franzen, like the last reports I've read on him says that he's been talking to the Buffalo Sabres on something in the two-year range. But, you know, for a guy who's only 28, I don't understand how teams aren't offering at least 4 years. Or 5 years, or something at least a little more stable for a guy who I'm looking at his point totals right now, apart from getting 50 points several times in junior, getting 50 points in the AHL, and setting career highs in points last season with 36. I mean, 36 points for an NHL defenseman? And
it's not bad.
And no one wants to give him more than 2 years. I'm not sure what his per year would be. I believe last year he was making somewhere in the 3.3, maybe 3.5 range. So I can see him going to free agency and looking for four. But the fact that no one wants to give him more than 2 years at four per for a guy who can play upwards of 20 minutes and give you good quality hockey? Come on. Like, come on.
Well, general managers, I guess, are getting smarter because we saw that this year, that no one's making the David Clarkson mistake. I mean, we were seeing rumors during free agency that Bolesky was going to get 7 years and $7 million, you know? That never happened because general managers are smart now. They've seen what's happened. And I think that's really what they're learning. But, you know, going to Franzen, like you said, he's 28 years old. He's 6'5". He's a right-handed defenseman. He deserves at least 4 years. And you know what? Even if he doesn't get 4 years, all right, I think he's going to get signed probably with the Sabres because that's the team that he's been rumored with. You know, everyone talked about the Bruins being after him. It was kind of like, when is it going to happen? When is he going to sign with the Bruins? Looks like they've died out of the race a little bit. It really looks like it's going to be the Sabres just fighting to get a contract done with him, which I think he would be a great fit there. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to focus this whole show on Cody Franzen, but it's just, in my mind, I don't understand why a top four defenseman has still not been signed.
How good would Cody Franzen look with Zach Bogosian or another body with Rasmus Ristolainen? I believe
Ristolainen.
Yeah. How good would like I wanted to bring this into the show earlier too. I guess we can make this subtle transition to Buffalo, but I think if you added Franzen to Buffalo for a team that was on a historically bad pace last season. And if you can add him to that blue line with Zach Bogosian, who I think is criminally underrated, he had 20 points in 62 games last season. You know that with a Buffalo team that's in the middle of a rebuild, he's going to eat quality minutes. So if you add Franz into that dynamic and you add Rasmus right there, and with other additions that Buffalo made, like Ryan O'Reilly and Jamie McGinn, like,
yep.
The more I've thought about it in this offseason, I mean, a lot of teams have pointed to Toronto as having a really good offseason, which I would agree with. And we can get into that later. But Buffalo, like, and yep. Not to mention, too, Dan Bylsma is now your head coach, a guy who's won a Stanley Cup.
And look at this, right? Let me name you down the top four centers of the Buffalo Sabres this year. Okay. Ryan O'Reilly,
yeah.
Jack Eichel,
uh-huh.
Sam Reinhart,
yeah.
and David Legwand.
That's pretty good.
I mean, it's young. Those top three guys, I mean, either one can be a number one center. And those are the top three. David Legwand, hey, you need a depth guy like that. That's probably what the Sabres are lacking a little bit. More depth, add veterans. I mean, they still have Brian Gianna and Matt Molson, who I think Jack Eichel is going to live with Matt Molson, which, you know, that's a nice addition because hey. Matt Molson knows all about being the big star when he's a young guy. And then that defense, like you said, I think that's really where they're going to have to really upgrade. I mean, I think that's why Franzen will be a great addition. But they have Josh Georges, who, you know, I know who Josh Georges is. He's a good guy who'll block some shots, and he's the guy that'll annoy you in the locker room and not stop talking and say, yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'll tell you this. Everyone loved Josh Georges when he was with the Montreal Canadiens. All the fans, all the players. But when the Montreal Canadiens played against the Buffalo Sabres, the first game Josh Georges was with the Sabres, so many players went after him. Josh Georges is an interesting player. I think he talks a little too much.
He's a bit of a pest.
Yeah, he is. He is. And that's why him and Brendan Gallagher were such great roommates.
Georges also didn't have a goal in 46 games, but,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Injury problems. yeah, just blame it on that.
Yeah, blame it on the injuries. Blame it on the rain.
Yeah,
you know,
that was a good song.
Isn't it weird, too, how Buffalo – oh, another addition that Buffalo made that's very underrated is Carlo Koliakovo, who, mm-hmm. when he's healthy, he's a very capable defenseman. He's 32 mm-hmm. right now, and it is one of those things where at some point you get so many injuries – they have no choice but to label a guy as injury prone, and Koliakovo certainly makes a case for that. But to add a guy like him to a Buffalo team where, like I said, there's no expectations this year. No one thinks Buffalo is going to be making a run at the Cup. So no. if you bring in Koliakovo now, and all of a sudden he's productive. I mean, like, he's actually logging in minutes and being a good defenseman. All of a sudden now you have something of value, and now you can trade that. You can see. It's similar to what Toronto's doing now, where they're signing guys like Sean Mathias and P.A. Parenteau and to one-year deals, and Matt Hunwick to two-year deals. They're cashing in on these guys, and then they know that if they can get to a deadline where they know they're out of it, and they have this player who's on an expiring contract, now you can somehow generate value from it. And that's exactly what Koliakovo could do. Now, he could be on IR in week one and not play for the rest of the year. Or he could be in and out of the lineup until he gets sent down to the minors or just placed on waivers. But, again, another subtle move by Tim Murray, who recognized that his team's going to be in a rebuild year and brought in a quality veteran who, again, it's one of those, yeah, but, because he has a history with injuries. But it could be a value to Buffalo. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and like, I'm looking at this right now. I'm looking at their lineup. Like, this team is not far away. And we said this at the end of the year, before they even got Jack Eichel or Connor McDavid, you know, those were the two fights of who the Buffalo Sabres were going to get. Before, I mean, when they got Evander Kane, you knew there was a change of tide. It changed the team. When you get Ryan O'Reilly, I mean, that is a huge upgrade. They may not make the playoffs this year, or they will be fighting right there in the midst of it on the last game in April. You know, that's really how I see this team. Because it's a young team. They've got some stars on this team, some absolute stars in the making. But it's young. And, I mean, you know what? I give all credit to that. I'm a fan of the Montreal Canadiens team, who this summer, I from the beginning of it, I went from, man, we're going to win a cup in a couple years, to saying, what is our management doing? When you really assess the situation, maybe I'm going to go to the Montreal Canadiens a little bit here, I'm losing my confidence in this management group, to be honest. And it's just, I know it's kind of crazy, but this is my thought. everyone talks, and Hunter, I'm gonna steer away from the Buffalo Sabres and move on to my team because I need to get this rant off.
And then we'll go to the Leafs right after.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. We have to get our rants off. Mm-hmm. Yours will be more positive than mine, but I haven't talked enough hockey this summer, so I need to get it off.
Go ahead.
The Montreal Canadiens, their core players are on they're gonna need to wake up and say this is their Stanley Cup year. You know what? And you know who the guys who are gonna make that happen are? Michel Therrien and Marc Bergevin. Because every year since this team has been close to contending for a playoffs or for a Stanley Cup, both general manager and coach said, our goal is to make the playoffs. We don't think we're going to be a contender. And every year, they're contending for a cup final spot. Now this is the year you make that big trade. You make that big trade to get that number one center, because guess what? Carey Price is turning 28. Yeah, he's getting in his prime. I mean, this is his prime. He's in the middle of his prime right now. Max Pacioretty, going to be turning 27. The next 2 years, this may be his highlight point. He's going to be going down from there. Brendan Gallagher, Alex Galchenyuk, yeah, they're young guys. Those are your core guys. They're getting older too. They're still like in their 21s, 23s, but still, those are key guys that are going to need to be put in proper roles. Galchenyuk better be in center this year. If he's not, man, Michel Therrien, probably one of the worst coaches I've ever seen and one of the biggest mistakes, because this guy
if that's your mindset right there, if you've already said he's one of the worst coaches you've ever seen and you're echoing the same sentiment that I had with Carlisle last year, then how is he still there?
Because it's all about winning games, and the whole thing about winning in the regular season is to play a defensive game. That's
but they're
exactly
only winning games because of Carey Price. They're not winning because of the system.
I know, and that's the whole problem with the Montreal Canadiens right now. Hopefully, in a way, I hope that that weakness gets out there, that the management sees, hey, Carey Price kept this team in it the whole year. That's what they did. We saw that 2 years ago when the Montreal Canadiens were almost going to make the Stanley Cup Finals, and they played the New York Rangers, and they had Dustin Tokarski in there. And I'll tell you, Dustin Tokarski played the best he'll ever play in his life.
Yep.
That's what I thought. He was a solid goaltender, but he wasn't good enough. Carey Price is out of this world. He had one of the most amazing seasons anyone's ever seen of a goaltender. And guess where it ended up? Kicked out of the second round. This team needs to be upgraded. You need to go make that big trade. David Desharnais is not a number one center. Thomas Plekanec is not a number one center. Trade Thomas Plekanec. You have one more year of this guy. He's like 32. He's done, all right? He's got a couple years left of solidness. He's not in his prime, he's going to be going downhill. Trade that guy. Trade Desharnais.
But what?
Get this team
what
back
value can
to where
you,
we can be a contending?
What value can you get for though? Like if you just pretty much lay it the smack the down on Thomas Plekanec's candy ass.
Well, I think you can get value for him.
Okay, so he's last year he had 60 points and he played a full season.
Yeah.
So you got a 60 point second line center. Who are you going to replace him with? Because Desharnais, like don't get me wrong, no. Desharnais is a 50-point guy, too, and he's younger. And so right there, you've got a pretty good – and you've still got Galchenyuk in the wings right there, who maybe shouldn't be on the wings, but he should be down the middle. Yeah, exactly.
You just said it. Your number one center is in your organization already. Your number one center is in your organization. Alex Galchenyuk gets moved up to the first line. Lars Eller and David Desharnais, they can fight for that second and third spot. Lars Eller, love the way he plays. He's not a number one center. Everyone knows that now, but he's a great number two or three. David Desharnais, I'm not a hater of David Desharnais. He's placed in the wrong role. He can be your number two and number three center, and he'll play on the power play and he'll be great, but he's not a number one center. These are like the little things that can be done to make this team so much better. You've got an amazing scorer in Max Pacioretty. You've got the best goaltender in the NHL. You've got the best. And then you've got top three defensemen in PK Subban. What are you waiting for? Your team is in its prime right now. Why are you not going to say, all right, this is the year we're going for it? Because in 2 years, this team is going to be out of their prime. They're going to be out of their prime. Carey Price will be out of his prime. PK Subban's only going to get older. And Alex Galchenyuk and Brendan Gallagher are your only hope, because guess what? Those are going to be the only two. And I'll tell you, their prospects, they've got some great prospects up the lineup, but they don't have enough to be a lasting contender like the Detroit Red Wings were for 20 years.
You're absolutely right. And PK Subban right now, 26 years old. Carey Price, I believe, is turning... Yeah, he turned 28 last month.
Yeah.
And so you know that time's ticking. I don't think Michel Therrien's going to survive the season. I really don't. I just don't see
Guy Boucher. Guy Boucher is coming in.
It certainly appears so.
Or and Mark Crawford. Those are my two guys because Mark Bergevin really does like Mark
Crawford. Crow's not a bad choice. Now, Crawford right now is coaching the team. I believe they're called Zurich. The Zurich Lions in the Swiss League. That's where Austin Matthews will be playing next year. Man, that would be interesting, too, to see Mark Crawford back in the NHL. I got to think about what other coaches speak French.
He was a strong contender. I remember when it was either Michel Therrien or Crawford, it was either one of those two. And I wanted Crawford over Therrien because I was never a fan of Therrien. And you know what? I'll give props to Michel Therrien. His first year, he did great. And then he said, oh, my God, we lost a line brawl against the Ottawa Senators. We got our goalie was outmatched, which is true in that series. We need to become a big, strong, tough defensive team. And that's what happened.
It's the same mistake that they all make. They all make it. They think that their lack of results is indicative of how there's a lack of toughness. They think that not winning game seven is because you didn't have tough guys. And it's that, do you know what I mean though? It's that old school logic.
It's so true, and it's still a problem.
It still is. And
we're seeing your Toronto Maple Leafs are doing what's going to happen now.
Oh, yeah.
You have got that positivity to think about. Last year, man, this time last year, you were in the same boat as me, but even worse. Now this year, you got to be so positive because your team is going the right direction. Kyle Dubas, oh, my gosh, man. This guy, when they first hired the guy, I was like, all right, well, he's pretty young, and we'll see what happens. I was never a huge fan. This guy, he's brought this team to a huge, huge strengthening because they're going to be a contender in a couple of years. They may be a contender next year. I told you before, or in the middle of the summer, our last show before we went off, that the Toronto Maple Leafs will be fighting for a playoff spot. I really believe that because you have an organization that told its players, go show me what you got. This is your chance to show everyone what you got. It's a restart from here. Let's revamp this team. Everyone, we're not thinking about the past. We're thinking about now. We can segue into the Toronto Maple Leafs because that's what we've been doing all show, segueing to other things.
We're really good at that.
Yeah, we really are. But I keep on saying that so that people can understand how good we are at it because I think it's a skill.
We're just trying to get our name out there, This is the Hockey Guys podcast. This is episode 57 with Hunter Crowther and Chris Shannon. I'm currently in Toronto, Ontario, while Chris is in sunny. Where are you in Florida, actually? Where are you?
South Florida, near Fort Lauderdale. It's like pretty much heaven. It's where
snowbirds
come. Yeah. Well, I mean,
I thought heaven was Iowa. I thought Kevin Costner said heaven was Iowa. Yeah. No.
Yeah. No, I don't. No. I don't think so. But it's all right. I mean, some people may think that, but I think Florida is. But I mean, You go to Idaho, or what you said, Idaho,
Iowa.
Right?
Iowa.
Iowa. Okay, yeah. You go to Iowa and tell me how that goes.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
What the hell is in Iowa? Like, what can you do in Iowa? Man, I wish I got to live in Florida. I mean, Toronto's pretty sweet. Like,
Toronto's awesome, man.
The springs and summers are nice. Like, I don't know, man. 365 sun, though. That's pretty great.
Yeah. No, I mean, yay. I want to live in a city. Because that cities are awesome, but you know Florida is it's a nice place to live, especially when the Florida Panthers are going to become a playoff team, and I can go to some nice games and watch a winning team around here instead of trying to go up to Montreal and go for a game when it costs $700 to go get a ticket. So I want to see the Florida Panthers do well this year.
I already got my Jonathan Huberdeau jersey printed, cool. So you better believe it, baby.
Smart guy.
Oh, you know. All right, let's talk a little bit of Leafs. So, man, this really has been like it's been such an unusual offseason, but I think it's the lack of outlandishness, if that makes sense, is what's so shocking about the 2015 offseason for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's start it off with Mike Babcock, who on this show I said there's no chance he's coming here.
So did Steve Dangle.
So did Dangle. So did every hockey observer. So did every insider. It seemed like it was Detroit or maybe Buffalo. And it was always that Toronto was on the fringe, that they were talking to Babcock, but it was never realistic. And then I remember the day that it just all blew up and Jeffler on Twitter was reporting about airport sightings at the MLSC private plane. And we were just... it reached a point where it became truth. And Mike Babcock, for 8 years at $50 million, became the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Not to mention Lou Lamoriello, who, while we were recording this show, in the middle of it, where you said on the show, oh, my God, Lou Lamoriello is the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I went, ha, 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 that's really funny. And in my head, I went, damn, Chris, what a stupid joke. That wasn't even that funny. And then I scrolled on Twitter and went, holy crap, it actually happened. And then a lot of obscenities passed through my head. I didn't say any of them out loud. But then it dawned on me that this was a reality, and now Lou Lamoriello is the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Doesn't stop there, though, folks. Like, I don't know if Chris is even going to say anything the next few minutes. Let me just keep rambling on. Phil Kessel goes to Pittsburgh in a very questionable trade where they eat $1.2 million a cap. But all of a sudden now you've ended an era where it seemed like every single day there was a story of negativity written about Phil Kessel. So that era is done. One of the best players that ever played in this franchise is gone. So Kessel's gone. Dion is still here, who may be the most hated player by Leaf fans. Yet somehow no team was willing to take on his long-term contract or big-term per-year salary at $7 million with, I think, I believe, 6 years left. No one wanted to. So they still have him. You had a little bit of a back and forth with your star goaltender and Jonathan Bernier, and now you've signed him to a two-year deal. And you're still not sure if he's an elite goaltender. You still don't know if he's the top guy that you thought you were getting from Los Angeles. Looked like it in the first season. Looked like it had a lot of flashes. But now, no. Now, to be fair, everyone in the second half of 2014-2015 looked terrible. But your goaltender looked terrible. You can make the argument Reimer was as good as Bernier. In fact, when they were doing RFA negotiations, it was Reimer's numbers that were a big comparable to Bernier's. So eat that, fans who don't like James Reimer. Back off. Leave him alone. He's a good guy. And April Reimer is a lovely woman. So you just stop it. Your attitudes. But and it doesn't stop there. Like, there's been so much, I don't know, there's been so much turmoil. Chris, you're an observer of the Habs. I mean, like, this is what I love about sports. Like, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I love watching the turmoil of the Washington Redskins. I don't even like saying that term, the Washington Native Americans. I don't like the Philadelphia Eagles, so I love when they crash and burn. I love when I read reports of Chip Kelly being hated. And as a Blue Jays fan, I love the fact that their best player is this 40-year-old who has now become the poster boy of steroids in baseball, and they're 1.5 back of the Jays in the division. What up first in the division? Waiting for that pennant, NL AL East. What's up? But let's get to hockey. I mean, back to you, Chris, though. Like, I'm just interested, like, it feels like this offseason, though, has been almost too good to be true. Like, there's been too many things that make sense from an outside perspective. There's too many things that I would read some blogger on Twitter say that have become reality now in the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment organization. I mean, like from your perspective, what is that like?
Yeah, I mean, that must be weird for a Leafs fan like you to have a positivity with sports in your life. I mean, your Blue Jays are doing some crazy things. Your Maple Leafs are becoming close to a contender in the next couple of years and doing the things, like you said, the right way. From an outside view, like I stated on this show, the Maple Leafs are doing this the correct way. I mean, you got to be a happy guy. I mean, I know you like what this team's done. Brendan Shanahan, I'll tell you this. In the last half of the season, he was getting a lot of hate from everyone. You know, I listened to Pierre Maguire two times on the radio every day on TSN 1050 in the morning and TSN 690. And that guy rid Shanahan like crazy, saying that he has no experience. We haven't seen him do anything. Now, he did say, let's see what he does this offseason, but it'll be hard to make this team a contender in the next couple of years. Brendan Shanahan became one of the most popular and best executives in the NHL. And he has. I mean, he got, like, you stated all those names, and all those names are people I would have never, ever guessed would be on the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs, this team is going to be interesting. They've got a lot of young core coming in here. They've got a lot of players saying, I want to prove myself. P.A. Parenteau, I know he has something to prove. We saw when he was leaving Montreal, mm-hmm. number one, he was surprised that he got bought out. You could see that he was pissed. Him and Michel Therrien never got along, which you could understand, because why would Michel Therrien ever like an offensive player that couldn't play defense? You know, he's got something to prove. He wants to become what he was when he was lined with Johnny Tavares and became that number one winger. And, you know, he wants to prove everyone that he doesn't need John Tavares to become a great player. You know, that guy, he was one of my favorite players with the Montreal Canadiens when he talked to the media, because he was so honest and blunt with everything. And when he left, you know, he did a couple of exit videos and you could see, or radio hits, and you could see that he was just like, all right, I didn't fit into Montreal, but I'm off to Toronto and I'm ready to go into this loving and nurturing situation that there's never been in Toronto. And it's really there now. Mike Babcock, you know, I was listening to Andrew Berkshire's podcast called
Friend of the show, Andrew Berkshire?
Yes, the man we've had on here, which Indeed. Was one of my favorite guests to have on here. Oh, yeah. And he's working with Sports Logic, and he said that he was doing some information with the Detroit Red Wings, and that most statistics, like, it just judged that Mike Babcock was just a creator of everything. Like, he did so many things to keep that team current and keeping them into playoff spots and making changes in the middle of games, which Sports Logic can all capture because this new wave of analytics that they're doing. And he said that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be amazing with Mike Babcock as a coach. What he's seen with analytics, with numbers, you can't be going wrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. It really is that. And I mean, last year we were saying that they was the worst team in the NHL. This year, who knows what happens? I've watched some videos of Mitch Marner, because you know what? I'm not much of a draft guy. Usually, I'm really into the NHL season. I'm all into that. But this guy, I mean, and I read articles on him. People said that he was close to Jack Eichel. Now, I don't know if that's true, but he was really close. His skill level, they said he was close to Jack Eichel. Hunter, the Toronto Maple Leafs are going in a positive direction. I stated before, they will be fighting for a playoff spot. I don't want to say they're going to be in a playoff spot by the end of this year, because it's going to be a hard one. I mean, this is going to be one hard season to crack a playoff spot in. And we'll get into the division previews later on in the shows, because we already have that scheduled for other shows. But this is going to be I think the Eastern Conference is much more interesting than the Western Conference this year, even though both have some very compelling storylines.
And we haven't been able to say that for a long time. It's always true. Been the Western Conference that has kind of been this running joke of how that's the real conference. How whoever wins the Western Conference final is going to win the Stanley Cup, which usually is the case, actually. Last few things on the Leafs. It is interesting how, like Berkshire was saying, how Babcock creates opportunities. I mean, like, I've seen a lot of good pieces, won by another friend of the show, Justin Bourne. I remember he wrote a piece on how the Red Wings were able to break out with using a stretch pass, and how they would create a formation for their skaters on the ice and then set up an opportunity where the defenseman could make a wide long lead pass to an open forward who was being uncovered.
Wow, it's possible.
Yeah. And I'm reading more on this, and then I find myself watching some old Red Wing games, and I'm watching some of how they break out on the power play. And it is unique. It's unique to different teams. There's a lot of not unusual things, but things you don't see. And one big thing that I've read and has kind of stood out from people I've spoken to is how the Red Wings were one of the first teams, too, to once you entered the offensive zone crossing the blue line, you'd stop. And then you would wait for your teammates to come in. And so often we find guys trying to carry the puck along the boards, and then they get stuck in a position where they can't go back to the D because there's a back-checking opponent, or they go deeper into their zone, and they're forced to either try and throw the puck up front or hope that someone's available on the other side along the boards. And Babcock wasn't like that, though. He said, stop at the blue line, wait for your players to get in. And it just seems like he's a guy who can naturally generate offense in a way that a lot of coaches aren't able to. And I think that for the most part, hockey coaches, or I guess in a lot of ways, sports coaches, baseball especially, because really in baseball, all you control is the bullpen. A lot of players off the bench, it's common sense. Football, I guess there's different styles. But in hockey, It's really a lot of the same thing that everyone knows. Everyone knows the same breakouts. Everyone knows F1, F2, F3. Everyone knows how to coach the basic trap and where to position the center. I mean, hockey's gotten very robotic in that sense. And Babcock seems to be a player who not only is a coach, he wants to learn. He's even like expressed on the record saying, I like to learn about different formulas. I want to learn about analytics. I want to learn every little bit of information that can help me become a better coach. And he seems like someone who wants to break away from the old school tough hockey coach where there's no pucks at practice I'm just going to be a hard ass and try to motivate you to be better. But he seems different from that. Now, don't get me wrong. He seems like a hard ass. He seems like a guy who pisses off guys. I mean, even judging from, I forget if it was today or yesterday, Henrik Zetterberg released some comments on Babcock leaving, and it seemed like from the tone of the interview that the two sides were ready to split. And that happens when someone's with the same team for 10 years. But he seems like a guy who demands respect. I was reading how P.A. Parenteau specifically signed in Toronto because of Mike Babcock. I think that is a thing that's attractive to players, is to play under a coach who maybe is a little unique in terms of his style as opposed to other coaches that those players have had over their career. But just overall, I think when you look at this Maple Leaf offseason, Babcock, Lamoriello, the Toronto Maple Leafs did an incredible job at the draft. Mark Hunter, who... It seems like every hockey person I've spoken to, whether it's a player or a coach or an agent or whatever, they all seem to agree Mark Hunter is one of the smartest minds when it comes to junior hockey. There's no better evaluator of talent. Like, he's almost like Nick Saban in terms of recruitment. Like, there's no one who can develop players better than him. And from everyone I've spoken to, and I'm like you, Chris, I'm not much of a draft guy. I'm not huge on prospects if it's past the first round. I'm not really the most educated. But from every pick that was being taken by Toronto, and I would look on my timeline, and I would see guys like Scott Wheeler or Todd Cordell or all these hockey bloggers who are experts in scouting. They all said that, wow, what a great pick by the Leafs. Wow, I can't believe he was still available. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe they just took him in the 5th round, 6th round, 7th round. And the way that they were trading picks was, as I've said on this show before, it echoed Bill Belichick in the sense that they could trade a 2nd-round pick and then get 2/3, or trade a 3rd-round pick and get a 4th and then a 3rd next year. They seem to be doing a lot of that. There was a lot of activity. And this GM-by-committee system that they've had with Mark Hunter and Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan, and now Lou Lamoriello's into there. And now, I didn't even mention, I think 3 weeks ago, Jacques Lemaire was hired as a special assignment coach. I mean, the additions that they've made in this front office, I can't think of a hockey team, let alone a sports franchise, and I'm sure there's a case that's similar, but I can't think of a hockey team that has added this much, A, talent, B, like current talent. So it's not just guys who did something 20 years ago and no one gives a you-know-what. Now they're active in the game. They're still successful. I mean, Mike Babcock's just won the last two Olympics himself as a head coach. So you have to really think now. The Leafs have done some incredible things. They've made some incredible additions. You draft Mitch Marner, who all accounts seems to be a highly skilled, dynamic first-line center prospect. Nazem Kadri, who's now in a one-year deal where it seems like it's a show-me-something contract. If he plays to the ability that he's known to be, then he'll get paid again. And not only that, you've got Willie Nylander, who had one of the best points per game of any European who's ever entered the AHL. Because in the AHL, you're usually not allowed in until you're 20. He was playing at 19, and he was putting up numbers that most guys in the entire league weren't putting up. And so I'm interested to see next year if Willie Nylander will break ahead and play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, there's a lot of things about this team that I'm very excited about. It's weird, especially for a team that with no expectations. Like, I'm assuming they're going to miss the playoffs. I don't even think they'll, like, even though we expect them to be competitive, I don't think they'll be in the top 11 or 12. Like, I still don't think they're going to be that good of a team. But what really interests me is, Are guys going to be legitimately motivated to play with Mike Babcock? Is there a new culture in the locker room? Is it still the same toxic environment as it was last season, where for the last 2 months on this show, we didn't even talk about the Leafs, Chris? I mean, like, the last thing we talked about was David Clarkson getting traded.
It's true.
So, like, it something just echoes to me that if the Leafs are going to be successful this year, I wouldn't quantify it in terms of wins or even making the playoffs or a lottery spot where you end up so bad you end up getting Austin Matthews. To me, a successful season for the Toronto Maple Leafs is getting quality value in their transactions. So you make smart trades. You continue to develop your prospects in the system and keep an eye on your guys in junior. You put a lot of resource into the Toronto Marlies, so they become an excellent team this year. So they show signs of progress. So you don't have to question yourself, okay, should I call this guy up, but he was -2 the other night and he's not really producing at the AHL level. Should I call him up? No, you create a hierarchy where there's strength in your minor league system, where you've got a bunch of under 25s who are getting quality minutes, who are being put in situations that are a little uncomfortable, and you force them to adapt to play professional hockey, and then you put yourself in a position where you can call them up and feel comfortable. And you know what? The last thing, I know I've just been talking about the Leafs right now, and I guess we've been doing the show for like 45 minutes now. The one thing I'll say, or my last point, is oh my goodness, I think I completely just forgot my point. Which is, oh no, I didn't actually. I just remembered it now. I don't have Alzheimer's. My one point is, they've signed all these guys, like I said earlier, to one-year deals. I think they signed Mathias and Parenteau to one-year deals, Hunwick to a two-year deal. Don't forget they also have Casey Bailey, who they signed from Penn State. They have Mark Arcobello, who played for four teams last year, which is incredible, and then he signed with the Leafs this summer. They got Nick Spaulding, Martin Marincin from Edmonton. A lot of guys who are on expiring or close to expiring contracts. Like I said, with value in your transactions, those are going to be a lot of guys where if you're still not in a playoff position in February and you're going to be unloading some of these guys, you hope that they can take advantage of being in a system like under Mike Babcock and you can get something for them. Because it doesn't look like they'll be long-term stopgaps. Or it doesn't look like they'll be a part of your team long-term. It doesn't look like they'll be a part of what you're trying to build. So in the meantime, you have to try and get as much value as you can out of those guys. And then when it's the time to move them, you find something that, before you know it, you can get a guy who you signed in the summer, and he's a second-round pick. He's a third-round pick. He's Daniel Winnick. He's, just these guys where you can get value. It's easy. Like, that's the biggest benefit that Toronto Maple Leafs have, is that they're the most popular team in the league, and everyone wants to focus on them, and there's 30 reporters at every scrum. So if you're a guy who's a pseudo-NHLer, AHLer, who's kind of on the fringe, and you want to prove to everybody in the hockey universe that you deserve to be in this league, go play with the Leafs for a year. Do that for a year, and you're going to get a huge contract out of it. You're going to get a big payday when you go to free agency the next year. And I think the Leafs are they're starting to realize that, and they're starting to use that to their advantage. And it's smart. So that's my last thought on the Leafs. We just had a bit of a rant.
Take a breath, Hunter.
I got a lot to say. We haven't had a show in like a month. Let me tell you this.
And that was an amazing rant because it's all so true. And that's exactly what you're seeing right there. And all the positive parts of the Maple Leafs.
I said it.
You know, I will for sure re-listen to that because it had so many good points that proved that the Toronto Maple Leafs are doing so many big and important things. And some of these things are small. Like, just the prospects they have, the way they're going to treat these prospects, it's going to be positive things. You know, I totally forgot about Jacques Lemaire. I mean, you know, it's a crazy world in the NHL when Jacques Lemaire is choosing the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Montreal Canadiens. That one hurt, to be honest, but it's okay, you know.
I hope it hurt.
Yeah.
I hope it hurt a lot.
You know, maybe he'll save our power play, which we haven't even talked about this. Yeah, Leafs fan. The Montreal Canadiens have Alexander Semin on their team. Like, that power play better be amazing. That's all I'll say. Now, Hunter, I want to move on to this point or this little segment here. I want to ask you, this is going to be an interesting one for you, right? Because I'm looking at it right now. Okay. What team that made the playoffs last season do you think will drop out this season?
made the playoffs last season and won't make the playoffs this season. Can I start it off by letting you go first and you tell me which team
you can totally do that. I know I kind of put you on the spot there, and I will take that. My team that I thought will digress or regress is the Minnesota Wild. I look at this team. They've got a lot of young players, and they also have a lot of old players. You know, Zach Parise, Thomas Vanek, Pominville, Koivu. You know, these guys are getting old. They're not as young and as big as names as they used to be, you know? Mm-hmm. I like their defense. You know, Ryan Suter, Brodin, Scandella, Dumba, Riley, Spurgeon. That's an amazing defense group. But you don't have many great forwards up there that are in their youth, you know? You got Charlie Coyle, who I like as a center. Michael Granlund, great center. He was amazing in the Olympics a couple years ago with Timo Solani. You know, that's when we really saw his going out party. Eno Niederreiter, which is a famous Cal Clutterbuck trade, which, I mean, if before this playoffs, you would have said was the craziest trade ever. But Cal Clutterbuck, you know, I'm one of his fan favorites because that guy was an amazing with
Savage
Martin. Yeah, like that was Savage. Absolutely crazy. But yeah, I look at the Minnesota Wild. You know, they already have so many goaltending problems. Their defense, that's probably the only bright spot for them. You know, Michael Granlund is not a number one center. Mikko Koivu, he's just getting older and older, man. You know, Mikko Koivu is a great player, but he's not this guy he used to be. That figure that the Minnesota Wild ran off of. You know, Zach Parise, we even saw last year that he was slowing down. Jason Pominville, same with him. It'll be interesting because, you know, they didn't make it to the second round. They lost against the Chicago Blackhawks, which, I mean, you can't blame them. The Chicago Blackhawks are one of the best teams to ever play in the NHL with this dynasty they have, and they are a dynasty. My team is the Minnesota Wild.
I
don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Is that conceivable, or do you believe that they are a playoff team?
No, I certainly agree that they're gonna take a little bit of a dive, or at least they're going to struggle. Like, God, the Central Division is so tough.
It's crazy.
You got, like, St. Louis, Nashville, Chicago. Chicago was third in the division. Like, that's insane when you really think about it. Like, Chicago was, my God. Like, we're really in a stage right now in hockey where
parity.
Parity. It really is parity. It's parity to an extent. Like, it is weird how the Western Conference last 4 years have been Chicago, L.A., Chicago, L.A., and then what was it before that? Vancouver,
yeah.
And then Chicago again,
Boston.
And then Chicago again. So like, there is a slight parity, but I think that it always balances out where the best teams are usually in their spot at the end, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but that's what makes the regular season so fun. You know, the problem with the NBA, and that I mean, you can totally see the NBA scene as a problem, is that you know, the Eastern Conference is so weak, and you know the teams that are going to make the playoffs. And the thing was with the NBA last year, you didn't know who was going to make the playoffs in the NBA in the Eastern Conference on the last two spots because everyone just kept on losing. It's whoever won a game would make the playoff spot. That's what it was like the last 10 games. The NHL doesn't have that problem. If you go on a three-game losing streak, you are in 12th place pretty much, you know? There were so many.
Oh, especially with the loser point too. Especially with that stupid loser point.
That's a discussion for another day.
Oh, my God.
But.
Yeah, no kidding. When it comes to a team that made the playoffs last year and I think will drop this following season, my choice will be the Vancouver Canucks. Some of their moves in the offseason made me a little bit skeptical, most notably getting Brendan Sutter from Pittsburgh. I just saw a lot of people really cite him as being this big center who has a physical presence and can bring leadership to the room. I was hearing a lot of, like, the basic cliches. Then when I was looking into it, he's 26, so I don't really know how much veteran leadership he adds to the team. His career high in points, ever in terms of being a hockey player is 57. That's his career high in points for a guy who is a first round pick and a member of Team Canada and the World Juniors. I mean, in the last few years, his numbers have slightly regress to what they should be in his stage of his career. 21 goals and 33 points last year with Pittsburgh. Overall, Brandon Sutter's never been a guy to me who's really stood out, which is insane because he just signed a 5-year, $21 million deal. You know, Bob McCowan on Primetime Sports here in Toronto's own Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360. Bob McCowan, he always makes this point about how guys who get paid between the $3 to $5 million range or close to that, they're in that no man's land where they're fringe second, third, even fourth liners. But because they have a little bit of veteran experience, or they had a playoff run that was notable, or some circumstance, or because they just play the game hard, they always get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to long-term deals. And I don't understand how Brandon Sutter just signed a long-term deal. And you look at going the other way, I mean, Nick Bonino is going to Pittsburgh. I'd rather have Nick Bonino than Brandon Sutter. And they gave up Bonino, Adam Clendening, or was it Clendening? I don't even
Clendening.
Know. Clendening. Yeah. Clendening. There you go. I can't even pronounce
You're close.
It. Anyway. Yeah, I do my best. And a second-round pick. I mean, like, I just don't understand what, going back to Vancouver, not to mention, they also made a trade. They traded for Brandon Prust from Montreal.
Zach Cassian.
Yeah, and they gave him Zach Cassian, which...
And a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, I was a little interested by that deal, too. I mean, Prust, you can tell, is kind of in the decline of his career. I believe he's 31 years old right now. And Cassian is, what would he be, 26?
24.
So, yeah, because he was in the Kadri draft, which was Tavares and Hedman and those guys.
Can I say a little fact before I forget it?
Please do.
Alex Burrows, and this is a cool little interview he did with I think, TVA Sports in French. He said that on the Vancouver Canucks, other than Henrik Sedin, the best passer on that team and the best playmaker was Zach Cassian, and that he thinks that if he's with the right coach, he can be thriving with, he can be a scoring machine, which, I mean, that guy with the body he has, that huge body that'll get in front of the net and can score some dirty goals. I've seen that vision. I mean, if he can get that vision and find a role with this team, that could be a steal trade.
I can buy that. I think they see Zach Cassian as a legitimate alternative to like Dale Weiss. Do you know what I mean? I think
I hope so. We can't have Dale Weiss playing on the front line, first line again.
I mean, like they have to see Cassian as like that guy who is a big boy who can just be overly physical. You can put him with guys who are better than him and he can just thrive under that. And that's really the best thing for guys like Cassian. I mean, don't get me wrong. They have talent. They have skill. I'm sure like nearly every guy who's in the NHL is the leading scorer of their AAA hockey team. But, you know, Cassian's a guy who I really don't think is much more than a maybe third or fourth line guy in the NHL. I know that a lot of people try to bump him up a little bit. I think he makes somewhere close to like 3.5 mil a year. I think he's got 1 year left on his deal and he makes close to 3.5. So here you go. You've got this guy in Cassian who's never had more than 29 points in an NHL season. He was in the AHL as recently as 2 years ago. He's what, 24, you said? So,
yep.
And I'm just interested to see if Vancouver can either, or if Vancouver can really get value out of this deal in terms of where do you put Prust? Do you put him on the third or fourth line? Is he going to be a penalty killer? And then at the same time, when I look at Vancouver, Ryan Miller, I mean, he's not the goaltender he once was 5 years ago. He seems to have struggled in recent years. And then when you look the other way, I think, though, if you put Cassian with someone who's a little more skilled than him, put him with Desharnais, or maybe even some shifts with Alex Galchenyuk, or even on the power play where you can put him in near the front of the net and he can just be a big body out front, I think Cassian can thrive in another environment. But it clearly wasn't Vancouver because nothing was getting done there. It seems like, other than last year where there was a bit of a bounce back, that whole environment has been toxic. I think Cassian needed a change of scenery, and I think that he's going to thrive a little bit in Montreal. And if there's any coach that he would thrive under, it would be Michel Therrien. Because Michel Therrien will give Zach Cassian 1,000 chances. He's not going to give Alex Semin 1,000 chances. Alex Semin will be in the press box far more times than Zach Cassian.
No doubt.
If both of them are equally as bad on any given night.
I mean, the funniest thing with that Alex Semin acquisition was on Montreal radio. People were saying, the funniest thing would be if Alex Semin and Michel Therrien were put together. I was golfing when that happened, and I saw that news. I was with my cousin. I said, man, they just got Semin, and no one could believe it because it looked like it was a joke.
It seems so unbelievable.
Because Michel Therrien and Alexander Semin together just does not go. It just Oh my! No. It's going to be an interesting season. I mean, and this is what I'll say. You know, everyone's saying, "Nah, this guy doesn't want to be in the NHL." He could have left the NHL and made much more money in the KHL. He wants to stay in the NHL.
That's right.
Yeah, I think it was just a big injury problem last year. We'll see what happens, but you know, if it could be like, you know what? I'll give Mark Bridgman credit with that. I mean, I still think that they're not a contending team for a finals spot yet, but the Alexander Semin trade was a ballsy move to make, especially because I can probably bet that Michel Therrien was not in for that trade. Zach Cassian, you know, you're just upgrading. I mean, I don't understand what's wrong with that Vancouver team. And that, I think your pick was probably better than mine. The Vancouver Canucks are spiraling down very fast. It's bad what's happening. It looks like they're going to become the next Edmonton Oilers because Bo Horvat's their best prospect. And I don't – there's not much gold after that.
And what did
I mean,
you get out
gold
of –
and that, there's nothing there.
What do you get out of putting Bo Horvat on the third and fourth line for an entire NHL season? Like, what
know,
do you get – what do you get out of that? What do you – like, what do you – in what way – because I understand it is kind of screwed up how in the NHL they don't allow you to have guys in the AHL at 19. I do agree that's kind of stupid.
Yeah, it's very stupid. I don't understand that at all. Yeah, I agree.
But I guess you're like all they're really trying to do is just keep the quality of junior hockey, at least at some kind of certain level. But like Bo Horvat just turned 20. And yeah, oh my God, he's a 95. And like what did he do last season? I mean, yeah, he had 13 goals. Great. He could have gone in the AHL. He could have gone in the OHL and been a better player. He could have gone to the OHL and been coached by Dale Hunter and molded into a better two-way player. Now, did he become a better player on the fourth line as a 19-year-old? I don't know. I can't quantify that. I don't think anyone can. But it just bothers me how, and I don't know why I'm getting so worked up about this, but I just don't like the idea of if you're going to call up this kid who was a first-round pick, who was putting up dumb numbers in junior, who has every indication of being a highly skilled forward, then why are you making him play a role at 19 against men? I don't know. That just bothers me. But whatever, if they think that that's how it's going to work out in the development, then that's fine. And I hope it does, because I like Bo Horvat. I watched him a lot in London. I watched him a lot in London, and I really enjoyed watching him play. Hell, I got to watch him play Junior B with the St. Thomas Stars. Shout out to OHA. What up?
What do you think the best Bo Horvat can be? Where can he thrive, and where is the best he can be? In his
well, he
time?
Could be a top player. Like he could be a top center. I mean, this is a guy who scored 118 points in a Triple A season, where like half the season is weekend games and tournaments. I mean, Bo Horvat has not only a ridiculous talent, he's got tremendous work drive, he heals quickly when he gets hurt, he was dominant in junior at points, like he won every shift, and then I just like, I see him go to Vancouver and then all of a sudden, like they just put him on the fourth line? Really? I have this bad feeling too that there's going to be a real dip in his game at some point this season. And he's going to get sent down to Utica, which there's nothing wrong with. There's nothing wrong with sending a guy to the AHL. There's nothing wrong with Nazem Kadri playing like 2.5 years with the Marlies. There's nothing wrong with that. But, like, why would you – I just don't understand. Why would you call him up to play? Why would you let him be a fourth-line guy? Why wouldn't you just send him back to London? But I don't know. That's why they do that and I do this. Anyway, Hockey Guys Podcast. Here's truly Hunter Crowther, co-host Chris Shannon. Been talking a lot, actually. We've had a pretty decent length show.
It's nice to be able to understand what you're saying, having a nice, clear show where we don't have to rush for time. This is where we grow, through a nice, calm, relaxing, rantful show, which this season is just, like, I am yearning for some hockey right now. It's
yearning.
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 Yearning. Yeah, exactly. That should be the title of this podcast show.
Yearning.
Right, yearning. Because, man, preseason comes. I'll be pumped for preseason. Ugh. And then after the fifth game, I'm going to be like, why are there so many preseason games? Let's get the NHL season rolling around. Toronto Maple Leafs versus Montreal Canadiens, October 7th. Can it be here now?
I want it to be now. It's very, we've got a month. Like, it's a very, got a very, very exciting time coming up here.
And I'll tell you this, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks here because there are a lot of teams that have waiver eligible players that won't be able to fit on their lineups, especially the Montreal Canadiens. There's other teams, but a lot of people are going to be put on waivers, and there's going to be some trades. We always see that. I mean, one of the biggest trades that changed the team last year happened a couple weeks before the season started, was with the Johnny Boychuk and Nick Leddy. I mean, that absolutely changed the New York Islanders and made them a playoff team. So
I just want to pause the show a little bit to remind everyone that Tim Tebow just threw a touchdown pass for the Philadelphia Eagles in the preseason.
Florida Gator? No Florida Gator.
No. For the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
Eagles. Wow. Actually, I'm watching the vine of the touchdown right now. It's a really nice pass. I'll give him credit. It's in the red zone. It's through the receiver on the left. He's got a one-on-one with the corner, and he throws it to the back shoulder of the receiver. Corner had no chance. Corner was playing textbook D, and receiver was all over it. Timothy R. Tebow, ladies and gentlemen, touchdown pass in his final audition for an Eagles roster spot. I don't think there's a chance he plays in the NFL. I don't think there should have ever been any remnants of him in the NFL, but he is, and there's a thing called ESPN that creates that, and it's this whole weird dynamic where this thing called Tim Tebow is a thing.
College football is not NFL football. There is a huge difference.
Huge difference.
When are people going to understand it? It bothers me
Never
so much.
Will.
I'm not even a huge football Never guy. Will. I love football, but even when you watch it, you see there's a huge difference, especially with the quarterback position. I didn't even know Tim Tebow was playing in the NFL until I asked my friend, where is that guy? Like, what's he doing anyway?
And he was off for like 2 years. He was away from the NFL for 2 years. Yeah, he was an announcer for SEC.
He was a commentator. Yeah, it was crazy.
And then they're just like, oh, yeah, here you go. Again, Chip Kelly, what the hell are you doing? Keep doing it. Go Cowboys.
Yeah, I like Rex Ryan, you know, and I'm a very new football fan.
Oh.
But I like Rex Ryan, how he runs his team. Just like, all right, we're going to take this guy. Yeah.
He signed the linebacker that knocked out Geno Smith. That's incredible.
Like, I love that. It's just like, yeah, well, you know, we'll take him.
Screw you. It's my team. Do what I want.
I thought they were going to go after Ray Rice. That was a rumor around town that they were going to go after Ray Rice, which I respect. He didn't do, which, you know what? I mean, Ray Rice doesn't deserve a contract.
Yeah, I don't think, especially after the year. Especially like when you've had an entire year off. I think Ray Rice is like 30, 31, and like that's old.
Go up
that's
to funny. Edmonton. All right. I don't even know about the CFL. Like, what do they? Edmonton have a team?
Edmonton's got a CFL
Eskimos?
Team. Yeah, we got Edmonton Eskimos. Right. Yeah. What's your do you have any CFL opinion? Do you care about the CFL at all?
My one CFL opinion is go Alouettes. If you ask me who was the quarterback of the Alouettes, I would say, isn't it that Cavillo guy? I don't even
Anthony
know his
Calvillo?
Name.
Anthony
Calvillo? Yeah, Calvillo. Yeah. Like, and he's not even
No, he
anymore.
Retired a few years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the closest thing I have.
The lot.
And I knew Chad Johnson played for the Alouettes.
That's right.
Chad Ochocinco. That was a big deal, you know?
Yeah. It was a big whopping, like six catches, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. So I'm not a huge football guy, but go Alouettes. What's happening, but
Alouette, yeah. Former Ohio State Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Troy Smith. He was a part of the Montreal Alouettes as well, and now he's, a bag boy at Food Basics.
Wow.
Maybe. I don't know. He's probably just living a cushy life, actually.
As bad as it is, people make it in the CFL, they're still making money.
Yeah, that's true, too. Like, I feel bad.
It's how they spend their money. That's the whole issue.
Yeah, well, no kidding. And plus, there's no drug testing in the CFL, so if you got a little bit
of that. Is there actually no drug testing
in the CFL? No drug testing, yeah. So that's why it's actually a reason why a lot of guys who play in the States, they play their college ball there, they won't make it to the NFL, and they're like, okay, what am I going to do now? Oh, there's no marijuana testing in the CFL. I think I know what I'm going to do for the next few years. And
that's crazy.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Wow. It's pretty interesting. Like, a lot of guys in the CFL, they have real estate licenses, or they work security jobs, or they work – they have jobs.
Yeah.
And they do this for, like – what's the CFL season from, like – I think it's, like, from May to December. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to stick to hockey and basketball and NFL. Oh, so. Yeah.
poor CFL. Poor CFL.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know how you can grow that market, but yeah.
It's to put it in perspective for any American listeners, like the CFL is not popular at all in Toronto. No one cares. Like,
really?
No,
it's an NFL?
It's Yeah, it's pretty NFL.
If there's football?
Yeah, it's pretty NFLized. If you can remember, the Buffalo Bills had a series of games here in Toronto. And there was a lot of reasons there was no success for it. The tickets cost way too much. They didn't really promote it properly. I don't think they really put as much effort into it as I thought they could have. I mean, I think they thought that they could just have these games, and then immediately they would sell out, but it wasn't the case, obviously. But I don't know. Football is weird in Canada, because if CFL fandom is only for places like Manitoba, Saskatchewan, parts of Alberta, I guess BC too, like, and then like the Maritimes, that's where I guess the CFL is really popular. But here in like especially southwestern Ontario, it's just not popular here. It's weird. Like I played high school football in Ontario, and it's very popular in the sense that CIS is very well done. The one of the best football programs in Canada is the University of Western Ontario, which is in London, Ontario. And they develop great football players, but I don't know. It just the CFL doesn't get that much love in Ontario. And when it comes to the NFL, it's NFL's king, man. NFL is king. Nothing can beat the NFL.
The NFL can't even beat the NFL. Roger Goodell, man. I don't even want to get into it, but man, NHL fans, be happy you have Gary Bettman.
Oh my God, no kidding. Hey, we're gonna probably hang up pretty soon. I guess we've been on for over an hour.
An hour.
Yeah, look at us. It's like we're looks like we know what we're doing. Just kidding. All right, we've talked enough hockey. I'll give you let's get your final thoughts on Deflategate. Chris, what do you think about Deflategate before we head out?
Number one, it was blown out of proportion.
Way out of proportion.
Yeah, it's even the game that they did it in against the Colts, they dominated. The Colts even said, "We didn't lose from a cheating ball." Yeah, we're not. I don't even care about that.
Lost because you suck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Andrew Luck, you suck. But no, it's more. You know what? I think it's just. I want to go on a rant here, but I'm not. And I've had enough rants about the Canadians, so I'm not going to go against some stupid little NFL cheating scandal. But Tom Brady, you're a lucky guy. You and Robert Kraft run the NFL.
They most certainly do. Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones they probably have the stuffiest round of golf. It's just 18 holes of bought this property and then I just worked out.
We'll give anyone millions of dollars to come play for a football team, and then Roger Goodell, can we also change the rules? Man, it's just an absolute mess. It's such a mess. And the craziest thing is it's going to bring more publicity to the NFL.
Oh, my God.
With what happened.
What's the number one thing that people are going to watch on the Sunday night opener when they unveil the Patriots banner? It's just going to be this the entire time. Deflategate. From the second that they're like, we're on, it's going to be Deflategate.
Yep.
And it's just going to keep going, because even though the judge ruled that Tom Brady's suspension is he pretty much expelled it, the NFL is going to appeal, and it's just going to last in court for years and years. And it's so tedious and annoying and pointless in so many ways, and a waste of taxpayer money, but it's going to keep going. And that's the world that we live in. Most certainly is. Anyway, Chris, final thoughts.
It's the Hockey Guys podcast.
Hockey
it's
Guys new podcast. Season.
New
season.
The Hockey Guys show.
Oh yeah. Right on. Anyway, like, my friend Chris said, it's been the Hockey Eyes Podcast, episode 50. Oh, my God. What a horrible way to close it out. That's terrible. That's Bush League, Crow. Come on, Crow.
Bush League, man.
Episode 57 of the Hockey Guys Podcast. Yours truly, Hunter Crowther. My co-host, Chris Shannon. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hunter Crowther. Follow him on Twitter, at ChrisShannon16. Go to thehockeyguys.net to check out the podcast and any other content that we'll be posting. You can follow us on Twitter, at thehockeyguys. And, hey, do it. Like it on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Come on. We're pretty interesting. We like hockey.
Justician Hockey, guys. Great glasses.
Oh, yeah. Justician Hockey. Check them out. Our sponsor. They're pretty cool. And they put up with our crap. So, shout out to them. Anyway.
We're back.
Peace.